Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How many know that I am a Christmas Grinch? Have I said that before? Well, it's getting worse. As I watch commercialism, as I watch just all the stuff that's happening in the world right now, I would just like to run from now right through to Easter real quick. I'd rather celebrate Easter. I think Easter and Christmas should run together. That's the way I like it, and that's the way I think it should be. But, to my surprise, I have changed a little. I don't like the mess. I don't like the noise. And my kids will tell you that as soon as we have present opening with the grandkids, I go and get the biggest garbage bag I can and I spend my time picking up the paper that shouldn't be on the floor. But I do like the gift-giving for a little bit. I sit there quietly thinking, Chris, what budget did that come out of? You know, I set a budget. I have this great online app called YNAB, You Need a Budget. Chris, you need a budget. And I said at the start of the year what I think would be a fair thing for Christmas, $1 each child, $2 for the adults, and $10 for me. And every year I find that YNAB doesn't seem to balance. In fact, the food bill goes up, but I know there's Christmas presents in there. You know, I know that when the petrol gets filled up, it's not really petrol, it's Christmas presents. In fact, I have tracked this. And I've got proof this year. Anyhow, I love, believe it or not, the unboxing experience of Christmas. I really do enjoy watching the grandchildren and the kids open up their presents, my kids open up their presents and see what Chris has bought them. Now, you notice I say what Chris has bought them. I don't buy Christmas presents. I haven't got any money. Chris has spent it all. But when I think of unboxing, I think the best unboxing experience that you can ever have is an Apple product. Hint, hint. In fact, I would probably buy an Apple product just for the unboxing experience. Who's with me on that? Well, bad luck. I have some Apple products, but stiff, I only saw one person put up their hand. Andy, come up here and help me. Because I know that Andy is an apple man. He's got apple on everything. He even eats apples. Andy, I bought you a present. Well, I've got to take my pocket knife out of there. There you are. There's a present for you, mate. Okay, I've got you an apple present. And I want you to open up the apple present. But first of all, let me show you something. It is wrapped. It is wrapped.
We set the boxes up wrong as well.
Did you say that we set up the boxes wrong?
Yes.
Why? They look good.
Apparently this one went backwards.
Oh. Man, I thought that everybody would have really looked and thought, well, Graham's really gone out here. He's got flowers on the left-hand side and they shouldn't be. He's got two big boxes, one big box, and then two little boxes. Now, that doesn't work. I reckon that those boxes shouldn't be there. I reckon that box should be there. That one should be on the side because it's about the same size as that one. And I reckon that should be like that. And that should be like that. You see, I do Tetra. I know. Anyhow, let's get back to the unboxing experience.
Tetris.
What is it?
Tetris.
Tetra. I do Tetra.
Tetris.
Yeah, that's what I do. Tetra. Okay, this is an apple bag. Now, have a look at that apple bag. Have you ever seen a shopping bag like that? You know, it's got beautiful drawstrings. It's double, not single. And it smells beautiful. And it's velvety. No, it's not. Not no apple product overpriced because it's the unboxing experience. So, you might pay for the box, but man, it's worth it. So, Andy, I want you to take it out of that beautiful bag gently. Don't drop the apple bag on the bag. No, that's too precious. Don't drop it on the ground. No. You keep it because it's so good, you use them again. You don't mind walking down the shop with an Apple bag. Better than a Safeway bag or a Woolworths bag. There's my pocket knife. Be gentle with it. Okay, I'm going to take you through unboxing an Apple product. First, there's a thin plastic layer for which some reason you treat like silk as you slice around. Now, normally when you unwrap something, you would just go tear, but not with an Apple product. You do it properly, please. Yeah. Down there, just gently. Oh, you've ripped it.
The knife's not sharp.
Okay. Now, once you take that off, your fingers are exposed to the velvety cardboard box. And just feel that emblem on the top there. Yeah? It's smooth, isn't it? Yeah. You grab the outer box and you slide it off the lower box. And there's just the right amount of suction as the two boxes separate. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Put it back on and do it again. It's just so nice. Doesn't that feel good? Some man is clever designing that. Look at that suction. Once you've separated the boxes, with the contents in it, you bring it close to your face and you just have a look at it. You smell it. Now, I hope that I'm not the only one that does that, but I really do like smelling it. Apple products, just the boxes themselves, have an incredible smell that's worth smelling. Then, of course, this one hasn't got it, but probably it's down the bottom, isn't it? But then, of course, normally you toss away the instruction manuals because men don't need them. They're in the bottom on this one, but that's okay. All right, that's okay. They can stay there. And there, in all its glory, just show everybody in its glory. No, just in its glory. Show everybody. Look, see how it fits so perfectly? Isn't that incredible? Again, you've got to understand that this unboxing experience is just awesome. You take out the product and you just look at it. You weigh it up, you feel it. You take out the remote, yep. And then you lift out the two plastic bits. No, don't touch that yet. No, you never touch that yet. You want to see what else is in there. Wow, look at that. And then you pull out the power source. Now, you think power sources are all the same, but they're not. This is an Apple power source, and it has a beautiful bit of cellophane. Look. And then you uncurl the cable just because you can. And it is marvellous. That is so nice. And if it was an Apple iPhone, you would now come to the ear pod, or the things that go in your ears. You know those things? Oh, what's that?
A cable.
And look, it's got some... don't peel that off. We don't want it. No. Just in case you want to sell it, you can put it back in. Okay. Then you pick up the product and you peel off the cellophane. It's got a little sticky tab and you just... Look at that. It just peels beautifully. Isn't that amazing? Just feel it. Just feel the top with the TV. Oh, mate, that's so smooth. And another sticker. Oh, wow. That is amazing. And the remote too's got one on it.
It's got one too.
Yeah, this is so cool. I don't know why you're having all the fun. I wanted to do this. If it was an iPhone, you'd pick it up. You'd look at it, you'd push the button, and guess what the iPhone would say to you? It says, hello. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
In fact, you can have it. It's your present. Because you helped me, you can have it.
Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Put
You're
that back.
You're not being serious, Spudder.
I am being serious because the church bought it and we needed one downstairs, so... You can see unboxing an Apple product is an incredible experience. It's not the rip and tear that you would do with other presents. It's something worth savouring. Why? Because every step is an enjoyable experience. Why is it so enjoyable? I ask myself that. Why do I enjoy unwrapping that thing so much? I thought part of it is because even though you know what's in there and you know what's happening, you look at every individual part, you pull it apart, you savour it. And as you do that, the little parts become a whole and become incredibly beautiful. And so that's our aim over the next 3 weeks, is to unbox Christmas, to take time to look at the various aspects that make up the Christmas story. So rather than just saying this is Christmas, we've done our carol service, we've done our lights, we've done presentation, we've done this, we've done that, phew, am I going to make it? We're going to unbox the story of Christmas so that our joy and our excitement and our understanding of the whole message would increase. So let's begin in unboxing Christmas number one. Over the next two Sundays, we'll do two and three. Let's read Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month, which was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we unbox Christmas, that Lord God, that we would allow ourselves to actually enjoy every part, to dissect every part, to look at every part, to understand each part, and Father, to marvel at the parts. Lord God, there are some mysterious parts. There are some amazing parts. Lord, I pray that even though we've probably heard the message many, many, many times, and we think we know the message, that Lord God, your Holy Spirit will unbox to us the beauty of the whole today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in this passage, there's two aspects of the Christmas story that I would like to unbox this morning. The first is that Christmas is mysterious. And then the second part is that Christmas is amazing. In Luke 1, 26 to 27, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Back in those days, betrothal was like what we would call engagement today, but it had an added twist. To be betrothed was a commitment to marry the other, like we would do in engagement. But added to that betrothal, you were also seen to be legally united to the other person. The only way to break a betrothal was to go to the officials and go through a process of divorce. And so, in short, it was deemed and seen like you were married, with the only difference being that you were not sharing the marriage bed together. So in these verses, we see that we are told that Mary and Joseph are to be married, but they have not known each other physically. Hence, Mary was and remained a virgin. And then we see this happen in Luke 1 again, and he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." See, what we're unboxing here right now in this verse is, I think, the very heart of the Christmas story. It's the heart of the Christmas story because it's a miracle. It's the miracle of the virgin birth. The Apostles' Creed puts it this way: "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a Virgin Mary." Christmas is mysterious because of the mystery of the virgin birth. And as we heard last week when Pastor Hal led us in communion, the virgin birth is so important when it comes to our own salvation. See, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't really believe in the true Jesus. And it's this mystery that lies at the very outset of our Christian faith. It's this mystery that is foundational on everything we believe. In Luke 1 again, "And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now you will see a therefore in that passage. I was taught in Bible college back in 75, when you see therefore, you must ask yourself what it is therefore. In this case, it means that what is explained in these verses is only possible because of what came before. What I found as I went back to the before to find out why it was therefore, that Luke 1 gives us the context. It says this: "Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us," and he's talking about the other Gospels there, "just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the world have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write to you an orderly account, that you might have certainty concerning the things you've been taught." See, Luke is saying, "Hey, look, Theophilus, this is why I'm writing this account. You've heard so many things about Christianity. You've heard the miracles. You've heard the stories. You've been told about the feeding of the 5,000, etc., etc., etc. And you might just think that they are rumors. They're just some person making up a story to make it bigger than what it really is. But I want you to grasp something that is unshakable, something that is immovable. I want you to have a solid grasp on Christianity. So rather than writing all the miracles like others have done, I'm going to make my book a historical book, a factual book, things that take their place in order." And then what does Luke do? In Luke 1, he says, he starts by telling Theophilus that spiritual beings came down from heaven. He told him about a virgin girl who gives birth to a son. You see, Luke realizes The way to Christianity is not through understanding, but through believing. And if we don't believe in the virgin birth, then we can never understand or grasp the full beautiful message of why Jesus came. There's a theologian called Donald MacLeod, and he wrote this, and I read it and I thought, man, that is just so clean. I'm going to read it at church. He says, "The virgin birth is posted on guard at the door of the mystery of Christmas, and none of us must think of hurrying past it. It stands on the threshold of the New Testament, blatantly supernatural, defying our rationalism, informing us that all that follows belongs to the same order as itself. And if we find it offensive, there's no point in proceeding further." He goes on to say, if our faith staggers at the virgin birth, what is it going to take to make the feeding of the 5,000, the stilling of the tempest, the raising of Lazarus, the transfiguration, the resurrection? The virgin birth is God's gracious declaration at the very outset of the gospel that the act of faith is required by God. It eliminates the possibility of understanding that God-man relationship intellectually. It leaves only the spiritual understanding. That is, the understanding in which God's own work is seen in God's own life. So the virgin birth is God's declaration that everyone who enters a relationship with him will do so not by their own efforts, but by trusting and having faith in him. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have doubts. We can have doubts, but what type of doubts is important? Chris and I sat last night and talked about the virgin birth, and I'm not going to even go through some of the questions that we talked about because I don't want to put more doubts in your mind. But we came to the point at the end that God is God and we will never understand. But the virgin birth is so pivotal, so foundational, that we can never ever doubt it. In Luke 1:30, it says, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he'll be called great, or sorry, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said this. And Mary said to the angel, 'How? How will this be, since I'm a virgin?'" Mary didn't respond, "No, this can't be," or "That's impossible," or "You're having me on. I don't believe you." Her response was, "How can it be?" Or, "I believe, and I want to believe, but I have some questions." Mary had doubt, but not the type of doubt that says, if I do not understand, then I'm not going to believe it. And unfortunately, that's the rationalization of so much of the world. If I can't believe it, if I can't touch it, if I can't feel it, if I can't pull it apart and put it back together, then I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I think Mary's doubt was a doubt of discovery. A doubt that did believe, but still had the need of answers. And that's why I call Christmas a mystery. We might not understand how, but we're called to believe that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. And so the virgin birth is foundational to everything we believe. And in our unboxing process, you can't go past that without unpacking it, without thinking of it, without believing it, without accepting it. But then we come to the second part of this series, this message this morning. Christmas is amazing. It's not just mysterious, it's amazing. When it comes to unboxing Christmas, having now looked at the package of Mary and the virgin birth, the next thing that we can enjoy doing is unboxing Jesus himself. Who is Jesus? Firstly, he is God. Christmas is amazing because Mary's son is God. Luke 1:32 says, "And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This child, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, possesses the full nature of God. Not just his role, not just his function, not just what he's going to do when he walks earth, but the very essence of his being. In Colossians 2, we read it this way: "For in him all the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God." Now, this is a box within a box. And there'd be too many things to unbox in this box if we did it right now. But I'd like you to go away and meditate, download the message, listen to it on the train, get the notes and read it again, and just start to unbox just even this thought that in him dwells in bodily form the divine essence of God. But one of the things that I know that this means for me, and I hope for you, because God sent his Son, it means that he loves me. It means that he longs to be with me. It means that he came to open the door for me to have right relationship with him again. It also means that God came to me, to you, to us, to do what I could not do for myself. He came to me, to you, to I, to all of us, to do what we could not do ourselves. And again, that's worth unboxing. You see, our world is rejecting God as fast as it possibly can, because our world knows that if it's going to accept this Christmas message, and it has to accept the rest of the Bible. And our world doesn't want to live according to the Bible. So it's finding every reason not to. But I can honestly say to you now, when I look at my life in Christ and look at what my short life out Christ was like, there is no way I'd be where I am today. There was no way that I could have done what I've done today without God being there for me. Christmas is also amazing because Mary's son is also human. No wonder we get screwed up in our brains. One minute he's God, next minute he's human. He's virgin born, It's just crazy. You see, Jesus is fully God, for he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. But he's also fully man, because he's still Mary's son. So when God came, he added to himself a human nature. And as a human, Jesus identifies with us. And again, we could unbox this as long as you want. But all we need to know is Jesus knows exactly what we experience, because he lived it. Bible says that he went through everything on our behalf. You just think of the cross experience. You think of the brutalization. You think of the torment. You think of the rejection. You think of the injustice. All of those things that seem to drag us down. He was bullied. He was abused. He was violated. All the key words today. Jesus experienced that. And so Jesus understands our suffering and our feelings of sorrow. And that's why he says, come to me. Come to me. Let me comfort you. Let me help you. Let me walk you through this. The third reason why Christmas is amazing is because the one who came was holy. In Luke 1:35, the angel answered her, Holy Spirit, you will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, or called holy. Mary's son, Jesus, was holy. He was flawless. Holy means pure. It means good. It means without any defect or deficiency or blemish. God sent a spotless lamb who came not to be served, but to serve. Therefore, when Jesus came, he could come for me. He could come for you. He could come for the entire human race. And because Jesus is holy, he had no sin. And therefore, he could die for my sin. And again, Pastor Hal so clearly explained that to us last week at communion, which we're going to take soon. Fourthly, Christmas is amazing because the one sent from heaven came as our Savior. In the Jewish culture, naming a child was a meaningful task. And so it's very important what we read in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. Gabriel didn't give Mary a chance to go through the name book. Didn't give her a chance to look up the names of past relations. Didn't give her a chance to get on the internet to see what actually Jesus meant. He just told her, you will bear a son and you will name him Jesus. See, the angel Mary says to Mary, his name was chosen before the foundations of the world. And that's why you will call him Jesus. The name Jesus means Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. Jesus did not come to earth to judge us. He came to earth to save us. He came to forgive us our sins that we might be saved from judgment. He came that we might be restored into right relationship with God. And lastly, the fifth thing. Christmas is amazing because the one who was sent came as king. And he'll be great And he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In our Western society, we don't like the thought of having a king. We like the thought of democracy. I think one of the reasons we don't like the thought of having a king is because could you trust the person? What about if that person had unchecked power over you? Would you feel comfortable? But then if I said to you, what if there was a perfect king? What if there was a holy king? What if there was a king that you knew was for his people? A king who would save. A king who would not be limited in wisdom and love. I think if there was a king like that over our country right now, I wouldn't have any trouble bowing and allowing him to rule. At Christmas time, the king that we all long for was sent to us. We do at last have a king who guarantees the well-being of his people and puts evil under his feet. It is in Jesus, our King, that we will find everlasting protection and salvation. Our King will rule forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So as we finish part one, I have one question for you today to go home with, to think about. How do you respond to Christmas? Christmas is more than a mysterious story. It's more than an amazing story. Believe it or not, Christmas is an invitation. It's an invitation to respond like Mary did when she was told that she was going to have a baby. In verse 38, it says, "And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Some of us need to say today, or all of us should say it, I really believe, "Lord, I'm your servant. I submit to you. I want what you want. Lord, what is your will? Because whatever it is, I'll follow you." Or you can just say it as Mary said it. "Let it be to me according to your word." That's a pretty hard statement for some. There's some people that would have trouble still submitting and allowing King Jesus to rule over their lives because of past hurt, because of past experiences, whether it be in church or out of church. But then it would have been hard for Mary too. Ever thought what Mary had to go through when all of a sudden she found that she was pregnant? Not to a man, but to the Holy Spirit. What would she say to her dad, her mum? What was she going to say when the village started to see her show and find out that she was pregnant? What were they going to think of her? What about Joseph? How will Joseph respond when he finds out that Mary's pregnant and that he's not the father? We go on and on and on about all the things that make Mary's life hard. You know, it's costly to follow Jesus. It's costly to be obedient to his word. It takes sacrifice. But the beauty and the benefit far outweighs anything else. This morning, again I say, how are you going to respond to this mysterious, amazing message of Christmas? I hope that as we continue to unbox Christmas, you will say to God, as Mary said to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word. God, I am your servant. Do with me what you want." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would overshadow us this morning, and as we now partake of that communion table, Lord God, which your word says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Lord God, that we would meditate on the mysterious, amazing message of Christmas. And that we'd allow ourselves, Lord God, to maybe have questions, but those questions not waver our faith and our belief in who you are. I thank you that you are King. I thank you that you are holy. I thank you that you are God. I thank you that you are human. I thank you that you are who you are, and that you loved us so much that you came, that we might have life and have it to the full. Amen.